It's my privilege to introduce our guests today. Ron and Suzanne Cox are an absolute thrill to be with. I don't know how many decades of ministry experience they've got, and I'm not going to age them, many. But Ron was the pastor for 40 years, I think, of our church down in Alabaster, Kingwood Assembly, Kingwood Church, and has been through a lot of heartache and trials over the years, and has kept an awesome God-praising attitude through it. And God brought Suzanne into his life after his first wife died, and this is a fire plug, man. Both of them are fire plugs. I mean, they're just God's going to use them, and we will have service tonight. Suzanne is going to be speaking to us this morning. Ron's going to be speaking tonight. I promise you. You really, I know preachers say this a lot, you don't want to miss this. I'm telling you. You know, I heard it said that some preachers are, they preach good, but they're not fun to watch. These guys are fun to watch and they preach good. And so, I don't know, are both of you coming up right now or just Suzanne, just you? Would you give Suzanne Cox a hand this morning?
Pastor, we have had so much fun since we've been here. We went to dinner last night, and we rode around and tried to find a place that didn't have 50 million people. I think everybody decided to finally get out and go to dinner last night. So we ended up at the top of the river, and we had us on catfish, and it was so good. So thank you. We sat and laughed and laughed and had a wonderful time. So thank you so much. It's so great to be back with you. It's great to see Pastor Stan and Miss Christine. We love y'all so much. We laugh. Oh, my goodness. So, boy, the worship, whoo, is fire. It's so good in here. Thank you. Thanks for having us back. And, I'm preaching on finding peace in the pandemic. And Ron tonight is preaching, the greater the shaking, the greater the glory. And the glory of God, who is going to saturate the place this morning too, but tonight especially. So you do not want to miss the preacher man. And, this is our second time to preach since we were here in January. Everything shut down in March, and so it just feels good to get back in the flow of things. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. You do break every chain. Thank you for the lives that were changed right here in the altar this morning during worship. So Father, we thank you. You do take us from glory to glory and faith to faith. And so this morning we thank you for peace during the pandemic, that we are, as long as we focus on you, Jesus, you are right here in the midst of us. And so we just praise you, we thank you, and we are careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, really what a year it has been since the last time we saw you guys in January of 2020. COVID-19 has reshaped the entire world, not just our nation, but the entire world. And, you know, businesses shut down, grocery stores ran out of food, people hoarded toilet paper. I mean, what? I don't know. I'm like, not me, baby. I'm hoarding coffee. Right? Yeah. So y'all get the toilet paper. Okay. And so, everyone wears a face mask. I mean, sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. You can go in incognito to stores. And so you don't always have, you know, so it's just been an interesting year. And some of us have lost loved ones during the year. My mom went to heaven in August of 2020, and because of COVID and so many situations in our family, we weren't able to have a funeral service for her. And so it's just been heart-wrenching on a lot in a lot of areas. And then, fear has tried to press in. Anxiety has tried to overtake us. And then there was the presidential election. Oy vey. I mean, well, I don't even want to get started on that. And so anxiety, medications skyrocketed over this last year. Depression is at an all-time high, along with frantic attempts of suicide due to isolation and uncertainty. And so you're like, wow, I'm so glad I came. Thanks for bringing all this. Yeah. So how do we find peace in the middle of a pandemic? That is the question. And I'm glad you asked, because I have an answer. When we are in a situation like this, opposition will always try to come to us. And so we're going to face it head on. And remember that when opposition comes knocking, number one, remember that God has a plan. God has a plan. None of this took God by surprise. He is not wringing his hands and trying to figure out what to do about this. Regardless of what the enemy brings, we are called to walk in victory and peace and joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so God has a plan, and the world is watching the church to see how we respond. I'm so glad that you're going to be talking about cancel culture and how to come against that. I may drive up here on Thursday night and see. Oh no, that's Sunday. Okay, so maybe I'll. Sorry about that. Okay, so we're called to walk in the joy and the peace that God has for us. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Bible says, "For we are God's masterpiece." He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. And I'm going to stop right here and say, that doesn't just mean ahead of time. Like if I get to the restaurant before you ahead of time, I'll go ahead and order for you. No, this means before the measurement of time began, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. He knew this was going to come to pass. And so he says, I want you to know that I have a plan specifically for your life. Before the foundations of the world, God had a plan for you to do something for the kingdom that only you can do. Only you can do. And so even though the Bible says that God has prepared a good life for us to live, listen, the enemy will do everything he can to distract you and hinder you from the plans and the good life that God had prepared for us. And so he's always an opposer of the plans and purposes of God. The devil has been an enemy of the will of God since the beginning, since sin was found in him. And so the enemy's plans are to create destruction in our life. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy every good thing that God intends for us. And so Satan really doesn't care what you do with your life. A lot of people say, Satan has a plan for your life. He could really care less what you do with your life, as long as you don't fulfill the Father's plan for your life. I mean, he'll even help you prosper if it'll take you away from the house of God. We have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit in these days, because our gifts can also come with a trap. So whatever prospers you could also be your demise. And so we have to walk in the fullness of everything that God has for us. And see, most people don't even understand the lethal hatred that Satan has for your life and for you personally. When you got born again, washed in the precious blood of Jesus, you took on the image and the likeness of God, your heavenly Father. Jesus stripped the devil of all authority and power and snatched you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the light. Never forget that. The enemy has no power over you. He is a defeated foe. Colossians 2:15 says that Jesus disarmed those supernatural forces of evil that are operating against us. God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. Listen, it is not God's will to harm you with pain or sickness or depression or destruction. But this fallen world, the enemy is a disruptor of God's plans for your life. And we will face opposition in this world. And so, you know, there are times when bad things happen to good people. But John 10:10 is the dividing line. he says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly to the full and overflowing. Listen, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to you. So no one can compare to his mercy and grace. Woo, I love that song that we sang this morning. God is always your answer. He is never your problem. Don't make me have to say that again. Okay. His plans are always to give you a hope and a future. But on every front, on every turn of the road, every tick of the clock, the enemy will try to block you from living in God's best, living in the good things, the hope and the future. And if we understand the strategies of the enemy, we won't be awed by the fact that there are things that will come against you, oppositions that will get you sidetracked and off guard, losing your spiritual equilibrium. And so you can't throw in the towel and just say, hey, when opposition comes, I didn't sign up for this. Oh, yes, you did, baby. When you got born again, you came in the army of God. There's an army rising. Amen. There is an army of God. And God is raising us up right now in these last days to fulfill his plans and purposes. So it's time to trade in our spiritual flip-flops for combat boots. I mean, we have been relaxed way too long in the church. And when the commander-in-chief says move, you better say, yes, sir. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to and share my faith with? I'm telling you, it is time for us to pick up our shield of faith and say, yes, sir, I have just begun to fight. I have just begun. Fight. Woo, we're just getting started in this thing. And so, listen, we are not going to retreat. We are going to stand, having done all to stand, and see the salvation of the Lord and move into everything that God has for us. And let me just say that God's plan is always the best plan, but it's not always the most comfortable plan. Uh-oh. So number two, when opposition comes knocking, remember the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. God's plan is always best, but it's not always the most comfortable. You remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, he said, it seems like everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit is prompting me, compelling me to go to Jerusalem. Well, what was in Jerusalem? 5-star hotels, spas and swimming pools, and no, bonds and affliction awaited him there. Prison awaited him there. And so he says, there is an urgency in my spirit. We must get an urgency in our spirit for the harvest in these last days. Time is short, and we must reap a harvest for the kingdom. We must break from the status quo and comfort zones and hear God calling us higher. Come up higher. Come up and let's do this together. The Holy Ghost is going somewhere in these last days and we want to go with him, right? But I will tell you, like Joyce says, new level, new devil, right? When we step out to do something for God and go to the next level, there's always going to be an opposing force waiting on us there. And if you're not aware of this, then it could have a negative effect on you. But the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Listen, the children of Israel were never meant to wander 40 years in the desert. They weren't. And they were meant to go straight into the promised land. Deuteronomy 1:8, God said, I have given you the land. I've already given it to you. It's a done deal. Just go possess the land. And so after 10 spies came back with their negative reports. What's another word that they use right there? Evil report. Woo! When you're talking negative, God says you are speaking evil. When the 10 spies came back with their evil report, the majority looked at the circumstances and says, we can't do it. We are like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. So how you see yourself, people will see you the same way. And so we have got to see Caleb and Joshua said, wait a minute. God says he's already given us the land. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We can go in there and take the land because with God, we are a majority. Yeah, right? And so, but I tell you what happened. You know, they were saying we can conquer them. We can take them. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And make no mistake that Moses had the veto power. He could have said, I'm not going to listen to the masses who says we can't do it. I'm going to listen to the two that says that God has already given us the land. They could have gone in. They could have won the battle. But he succumbed to the majority and peer pressure. And so they wandered for 40 years in the desert until everybody died out and Joshua had to rise up and say, we can still take the land. We're going to go in and defeat the enemy. And Caleb said, I want that mountain. We are giant killers. We're going to go in and give me that mountain. I want it. And they did. They went in and they took the land. And so that is what God is telling us. Don't ever doubt what God gives you as a promise. There will always arise negative voices that will come in opposition. Not everyone will celebrate your God-given dream. I believe Joseph taught us that. Here comes that dreamer, and they hated him all the more. But when God gives you a promise, you can stand on that promise. The battle is the Lord's when we come in the face of opposition. Let the promises of God speak louder than the oppositional voice that is going to arise. Move on with God. Just say, I refuse to lose my joy. I refuse to lose my peace in the midst of a pandemic. I am going to find my kingdom place and I'm going to fulfill it. So if we look, if I look at the God-appointed destiny that he had for my life, the God-advancing decisions that I've made, I also experienced a flood of opposition that came against me. When I got born again in 1993, I had been a drug addict since I was 16 years old, went to my first drug treatment center at 13. Alcoholic, drug addict, 23, I was a cocaine addict. Almost all my teeth have had to be replaced because Satan takes you so much further than you ever wanted to go, and he keeps you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And so my life had spiraled out of control. Everything important in my life had been lost, wasted. But yet I wandered into an Assembly of God church on a Tuesday night. I wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for me. And I wandered into that camp meeting service at Gary Wood Assembly of God. And when Dr. Rutland preached his message and gave an altar call, he said, you may be here tonight and you wish you had never even been born. And I thought, that is me. I had tried to kill myself since I was 10 years old. Those voices are real that tells you you're not significant. Those voices are real that says take your life because everybody else will be better off if you do. And he said, you could be here and wish you had never even been born, but I'm here to tell you, you can be born again. You can start your life over. It doesn't matter what you did last night. You can be washed clean by the blood of Jesus, and you can stand before a holy God as if you had never sinned. And he said, I want to bow your heads. And he was about to give the altar call, and my legs jumped up. I ran to the front. I'd never seen an altar call in my life. And I knelt down and I said, God, if this is real, I want it. I want to change. I want a new beginning. And that night on September 14th, 1993, at 9:30 p.m., I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Never lose the wonder of your salvation. But let me tell you, opposition is going to come. You think the devil rolled out a red carpet and said, well, have at it, sister. I'm so proud of you for getting saved. No. No. Every Saturday night, I used to go out and be crazy. And he would roll up in my driveway. The devil would say, beep, beep, come on, girl. It's Saturday night. Let's go. And I had a decision to make. Was I going to fight? Was I going to stay in the battle? The battle is the Lord's. There were times at work when I would have such a bad day, I would still be so angry. I had so much anger and bitterness in my life when I got saved. And all the guys that I was working with were the same guys that I was drinking and drugging and all that. And they would say, come on, we're going to go have a drink after work. Or we're going to go get high. Let's go. And I wanted to go. There were days that I wanted to go. That was the only way I knew to stuff the monster. Just medicate it. Just give it drugs. Give it what it wants. Shut it up. But it never shuts up. It only gets louder. And so here I was. Now I wasn't hanging out with my work people. I was hanging out with my little 80-year-old Miss Betty. My pioneers of faith who took me under their wing and they loved me. And so my friends, after I would have a bad day, say, come on, you're not going to be churchy the rest of your life. We know you. Come on, let's go. And I would say, I'll be back. And I would go get, I worked at a printing company. And I would go get, kneel down in the nasty floor of that bathroom and say, God, I don't want to go with them. I do want to go, and you know that I want to go, but I don't want to go. I don't want to lose the peace that I have right now. I don't want to lose it. Please help me, God. Help me. The battle is the Lord's. If you will yield your heart and your life to Him, He will give you the power to say no to the things of the world and yes to the things of God. And I would walk out of that bathroom like super Christian and say, you go ahead. I'm going to call Miss Betty because I'm pretty sure she's got a cake in the oven. Woo! Thank you, Lord. So the battle is the Lord's. From that point, God took me on to Bible college, and then I went on to India where I faced new opposition of living in a foreign country and rescuing little girls from the brothels and the prostitution rings who were so abused and broken. And so through that, the opposition came that I was abducted by a taxi driver, and then I was electrocuted while I was there, and then I killed a snake in my living room. I mean, opposition kept coming, and I was like, hey, wait a minute, hold the phone. But God says, the battle is mine if you will just keep moving on with me. And so I made it through 2.5, almost 3 years of that. And then I met my incredible husband, my preacher man, woo! And I took on his level of opposition because he was taking a whole city for Christ. I mean, he's taking it, and the nations. We love missions, and we were sending missionaries all over the world and going on mission trips. And, you know, he had taken care of an invalid wife for 25 years, and, you know, we got married, and the devil tried to kill us on our honeymoon. But that's a story for the marriage conference. Okay. but you know what? At every battle that we ever faced, the battle was the Lord's. And we gave it to Him and yielded to Him. And so don't stop. Keep going. The latter shall be greater than your past. God has given us the land, and we're going to take it. I'm telling you, Pastor Renee, I love you. I just love your heart. I love your worship. I mean, she's in the battle right now with her back and all that. And y'all may not even know that, but you know, now you do. But some people don't like to share their stuff, but here am I. So, but, you know, I woke up praying for you this morning and thinking about you, and I just saw she just presses on. She just presses. She knows that the battle is the Lord's, and she's going to come on and worship God regardless. And so, listen, we cannot allow ourselves to get sidetracked or enamored by the opposition that comes against us, or we'll lose sight of where we're going. Because, see, the danger is not in the opposition. The danger is in you not moving into where God has called you to be. You can't sit back in your comfort zone anymore. It's time to rise up and be everything God has called us out to be. You can't get trapped in fear or doubt or insecurity or insufficiency. We must run the race and let God set your pace. Yes. I mean, I have run marathons in the past, and you get with a pace setter who holds a sign if you want to finish a marathon in 5.5 hours. You just get with them. That way you can just focus on the finish line, and there you just stay with them, and they'll get you there on time. Well, the Holy Ghost knows where he's going in these last days, and we better keep pace with him. Amen. We just better keep with him. Get someone keeping the pace with God. If you're not sure where God is calling you, hook up with your pastors and your mentors. They're going somewhere, and you want to keep pace with them. So, number three, when opposition comes knocking, remember God has given you authority. God has given you authority. Jesus said, this is in red. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, I have given you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Right? And so nothing. Understand that Jesus has given us the authority to live in what he has called us to do. The enemy is a defeated foe. He's given us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. I like the Webster's Dictionary has another word for tread that means just step over. To tread on something is just step over it. Don't even pay it any attention. Just step over it and keep moving into everything that God has for you. We want to step over our adversary and keep moving. If the rain doesn't stop, then learn how to dance in the rain. You just got to keep going. Learn how to dance in the rain. God will give you peace in the midst of the storm. How did he make it for 25 years taking care of an invalid wife? And then, has it been seven or eight years, Tiffany? The youngest daughter got Huntington's disease. The same disease that Glenda had. And now she's in heaven. I think, did they meet Jeremy last? Jeremy Sims, my son-in-law. He and Hannah, we love Hannah. She calls him Pawpaw. She was raised in our church, and she loved Tiffany and would take care of her, and she loves the kids. I mean, it was perfect. It was perfect for Hannah to come on board and be part of our family. But now we've got Stacy, the oldest daughter, who has Huntington's disease. You know what? We have to learn how not to hang your harp on the willow tree. We can sing the song of the Lord in a strange land. God gives songs in the night. He gives songs in the night. This man, and I have learned this over 20 years. We've been married 20 years last 2 weekends ago. I know, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? And there's not a morning that he doesn't wake up before he puts his feet on the floor. He sits on the side of the bed and says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so now I say that every morning of my life before my feet touch the floor. This is the day. God will give you peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of a pandemic, because we went weeks, months without being able to see Stacy, and it was very difficult for us. But, you know, we can sing the song of the Lord. Paul and Silas sang in the middle of chains and stocks and bonds. Stocks and bonds? Praise the Lord. And it broke every chain. As a matter of fact, their praise broke every chain. But we have the power to step over our enemy and keep going. Don't hang around the opposition and analyze every detail. They knew the name of every lizard in the desert after 40 years, don't you think? And so if you're sick, don't get on the internet and look up every symptom, because you're going to end up going, oh, I feel that too. And so don't get enamored by your opposition. Get in the Word and see what God has to say about it. Don't dwell on the opposition and take hold of offense. Woo, if you hadn't read John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan, lately, you probably need to get it out and read it. Do not take offense in these last days. That's what the enemy wants. Don't lay awake all night and dwell on what they said. You know, they are. I can't believe she said that to me. And when I get to work tomorrow, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. Well, honey, you ain't got that many pieces left. So you better hold on to it. Listen, we cannot lay awake and worry and think and dwell all the time. Worry is a down payment on a problem that you may never even have. You may walk in that office and it was never like you thought it was going to be, right? So keep your eye on the prize and step over the oppositional hurdles and move on into everything God has for you. The enemy knows how to get warriors all worked up. Mm-hmm. He knows how to push the right buttons. He knows how to escalate the problems that exist in your marriage, or if there's a financial difficulty, or a physical difficulty, or mental harassment, or a building program. You know, we don't have to worry about the economy crashing. I know people are saying, oh, but, you know, what about this? And what about the economy? And listen, God still has the recipe for manna, right? King David said, I was young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. God knows how to provide for his children if we will just trust him and have the peace of God that passes understanding. He will give us that. And so Satan knows how to pull every string in your life and take you from crisis to crisis. Some people have never learned how to build a stronghold against the enemy when it comes to having peace in their life. So don't fall prey to the enemy's strategies and deceptions. Peter said, don't be bewildered by this fiery trial. I mean, you're nothing special. Everybody's going to go through something. That's what he said. Okay. And so you can spend your life crying out, why me? Why me? Well, why not you? I mean, why not us? People are watching our life. People are watching. Your children are watching your life. To see if when you go through a trial, if you're going to crumble and collapse and fall into a heap, or will you say, I don't know why, but I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I am stepping over. I am stepping over that problem. I'm stepping over that sister. I'm stepping over that. I am stepping over that offense, and I am keeping on going and walking with God. Listen, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He allows us to walk through the fire and not be burned. We can go through deep waters, but they'll not overtake us. Our God is forever faithful. Amen. He always causes me to triumph. So when we learn to take those negative thoughts captive and cast them down and walk in the good plan that God has for us, that way, if you ever know how to worry, you know how to meditate. If you know how to worry and think on, then you just need to flip that and put a scripture there and begin to meditate on the word of God. Because God is our answer. He's never our problem. Okay, if the musicians will come, because we got some time left for a song. Okay. Y'all, the worship is just incredible. Thank you so much. So number four, when opposition comes knocking, remember to keep your peace. Keep your peace. Nobody said it was easy. But Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Oh, perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. As powerful as God is, he cannot keep us in peace if we will not stay our mind on him. If we will not keep our mind fixed on him and his word, even God can't keep us in peace. There's a God side and a man side to everything. God says, I promise you, I will keep you in peace if you will just stay in my word. Listen, Satan specializes in worry and fear, anxiety, confusion, and doubt. Our mind is the only entrance that Satan has in our life. If we leave that door cracked just a little bit, he's going to kick the door down. We have a bloodline that if you just barely put your toe over it, he will rip your leg off. He doesn't care about you. He has come to steal and kill every good thing that God has ever given you. He'll try his best to keep us from peace, the peace that God wants us to have. But we don't have to give in to fear and worry and doubt and anxiety if we'll keep our mind on the Lord. You want to know the secret to victorious living and peace and triumphant advantage over most people in the world? What's the secret? I'm glad you asked. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are true and honest and just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report. If there's anything of virtue, if there's anything with any praise in it, think on these things. Turn off the TV and turn off the unreality shows and think on these things. This is our answer every day. Of every minute of every day, and force yourself to remember the things that God has done for you. Do you know what we do every night? Because during the pandemic, what else are you going to do but, you know, redecorate? I was watching everybody else paint their house and redecorate their kitchens, and I'm like, well, I haven't decorated in 10 years. Let's get a new bedspread. And so I went and I got a new, I didn't paint everything, but I have, you know, it's gone from 46 pillows that we used to take off to like 3 pillows now. That's the end thing. And I know y'all are casting shade on my side part and my skinny jeans. Yeah. But, this Gen Z is trying to set the Have you seen? Okay. So anyway, the deal is I found a pillow that says blessed on it. And I thought, he's probably going to think that's so silly. But you know what? I put it on the bed. And because we have been trapped in the house for 12 months, with sanguine personality. Mr. Preach every sermon that you ever knew in your life to me. I'm like, some of you preachers need to call him and just, you know, let him preach to you for a while. So I have this blessed pillow. And every night he lifts it up over his head and he says, "What was your blessing today? What is praiseworthy? What is good? What is something good that happened today?" And I would say, "Well, I got to see Miss Betty, or I got to go get my roots done, or I got to, you know, blessed. We sat out on the porch and our neighbor's dogs came over and it was warm enough to sit outside and have coffee." Begin to put yourself in remembrance of the good things God has done for you, not just in the past, but every day. Meditating on God's promises will fill you with the good report. Listen, God's word, and if you want to stand with me, we're just going to do this. God's word says, "By his stripes I was healed." 1 Peter 2:24. God's report, that's the good report, is God's report. God's report says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus in Romans 8:37. God's report says we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That's the good report. That's God's report. God's report says we do not have a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That's what God's word says. That's his report. That's his report. He says, God's report says, "Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus." Amen. No matter what opposition we face, God is greater. God is greater than any bad report that comes our way. So let's leave here refreshed and encouraged, trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. And as we do, we will receive the peace that passes all understanding. You won't even understand how you can walk in the peace of God like what you are. And then you'll be able to minister that peace to others. Jesus is the Prince of Peace in the midst of a pandemic. We're going to stay with him, and we're going to have the fullness of the peace that God has for us. So if you want to step over today, I know we had altar time in the beginning, but let me tell you, some of you need to step out of darkness and into the marvelous light. You've never given Jesus your whole heart, your life, your dreams, your desires. And if that's you, I want you to step over out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Some of you need to step over depression. This has been a time where it's been isolation and depression. Some of you need to step over sickness and anxiety and come into freedom, because he breaks every chain. Amen. We're going to sing that one more time. Step over fear and let God fill you with peace. Step over and let God set you free and break every chain. Come on, we're going to, if you're ready to step out and step over, I want, as we sing, we're going to come into some freedom today. Before you go, amen.
Praise God. We're going to sing a song here, but she just gave you a call. I mean, she just, but I just want to zero in on those who you may not be able to say, "I have invited Christ into my life and he is my peace." You might not have ever really done that. Maybe you've been to church. Maybe you're with us online today and you've been to church. You've sung the songs, you may even pray a prayer, but you've never had that confidence that Christ has come and dwelt in you and forgiven your sins and given you abundant life and eternal life. If that's you, we want to pray with you, because all it really takes is for you to take yourself like that microphone and put it in God's hands and say, "I'm yours. all of me. My past, my present, my future, my mistakes, my dreams, my desires, my flaws, everything. I'm yours. I trust you with everything that I am. That's saving faith, to trust God like that. And He promises He'll wash away your sin, He'll give you life, He'll dwell inside you. If there's somebody here in the house today, or somebody joining us online today, and you've not done that, we want to pray with you. And I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads. At some point, everybody that makes a decision to follow Jesus has to be public with it. At some point, you have to say, I'm with Him. I belong to Him. But if you're here today and you hadn't made that decision, I want you to step out of your seat and come down. Man, we're gonna love you and pray for you and celebrate, because you have gone from darkness to light. We're just gonna wait just a moment. For those that are online, I just challenge you to pray this kind of prayer from the heart. This prayer is not magic. Praying a prayer with your mouth will not save you. Praying a prayer from your heart will. Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and you're it. Jesus died, and He died for me. I accept that. I believe that. I needed a Savior to cover my sin. Cleanse me. Come dwell inside me. Change me. I put myself in your care and control. My whole life, I put myself in your care and control, and I trust you with me. I trust you with my destiny. I trust you with my disasters. I trust you. You're it, and I'm yours. And I thank you in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you just hang on just a moment? Let's worship together. If you want prayer for anything, if you're one of those, you didn't come down to get chains broke off, but you know deep in your heart, you're wrestling with depression. You wake up with it. You kind of overcome it as you go through the day, but you go through the same thing the next day. He wants to help you. He's your key. Would you just all raise your hands to heaven? Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to continue what He started. Sometimes we feel like, well, when we leave this moment, all that's over. It's not over. It doesn't have to be over. We will have the Holy Spirit with us as we go out these doors. Amen? And I just challenge you to engage the Lord all through your day and come back here tonight with a determination. You're going to pull out all the stops. You're going to go after God, because He's after us. He's after us. He wants us. Let's invite Him. Holy Spirit, just help me be aware of you as I leave this building. Help me be aware of you as I drive home, as I eat lunch. Lord, help me be aware of you, God, whatever I do this afternoon. Just keep reminding me I'm not alone. Keep reminding me that I don't have, this battle is not mine. That you have a plan, and it's a good plan. Help me remember, oh God. And Lord, bring us back here tonight for another encounter with you as we gather together. Father, we thank you in advance for that right now. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, if you want to give towards the Cox's ministry, you can still, there may be a box out there. If there's not, just come back in here and lay it on the altar, and we'll make sure they get it. God bless you. God bless you.